Hello, everyone, and welcome to our third Winston & Clan podcast. My name is Luke, and I'm here alongside the rest of the Winston & Clan podcast crew.
I'm Andy.
I'm Leah.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Ethan.
And I'm Maddie.
In this episode of the podcast, we have the honor of interviewing Mike Torrey. Mike Torrey is an avionic technician on the presidential aircraft at Sikorsky. He also does house construction and is an electrician in his free time. So, let's get the podcast started. Where did you grow up?
I'm originally from West Haven, and we relocated to Wallingford 18 years ago.
What activities did you enjoy as a kid?
I was heavily into sports. I guess at this grade, eighth grade, junior high, you know, there's a soccer, basketball, and baseball, and hockey was, so I played everything as a kid, probably until about ninth grade, and then it was just strictly basketball.
Did those activities contribute to the pursuit of your career?
I think the activities in sports, or what you guys or girls do in sports, teaches you how to work together with other people. You're playing baseball, you got to work as a team, you got girls are dancing, and you're working as a team. So I think that knowledge of teamwork helps me with the group of guys that I work with, even though there's only six of us, but we all have a part and something to do when we're together at work.
Who was your childhood role model?
I guess I would say my dad. We're very close, even now. He was in the construction field, and I also have a background in that as an electrician. And I would say my dad.
How have they impacted you as a person?
How has who?
Your dad impacted
you. Oh, I guess through his work habits. He was always out early in the morning, you know, on a construction site or running heavy equipment. So work habits, I would say, was his main feature for me.
Can you tell us about your educational background, starting with high school?
Well, I went to high school at West Haven High. And my schooling there was mostly technical. Thinking that I was going to be an electrician, I actually went to after school to be an electronic technician. So I'm electronic, which is what I do mostly on the aircraft, and I'm also electrical. So I went to, there was a school in New Haven, the Connecticut School of Electronics, which isn't there anymore, went there and then off to work after that.
What things did you learn in school that helped you in your job today?
Well, like I said, I came from an electronic background, and being that the aircraft now is mostly all electronic and different systems that are on it and navigational things, so my background in electronics helps me with work, and having an electrical background, knowing how to power things up and do things with the generators and things on the aircraft, allow me to do both at work.
Did you have any jobs before your current occupation?
Did I have any other jobs prior to what I do now?
Yeah.
Well, what I do now is strictly on this aircraft. I've been at Sikorsky for 20-something years, and prior to that, I was just on a production line where there's aircraft all in a line, just wiring them up. So I was strictly production, but my schooling and electrical allowed me to go into this.
What inspired you to pursue this occupation?
I guess the challenge of doing something different. I mean, there's not too many people that I know of or that, first of all, know how to wire a helicopter. And second, now that I'm in this group that are wiring it, maintaining it, and on a group that flies in it.
What does a typical work day look like for you?
I work second shift at Sikorsky, so I don't report to the flight field until I have to be ready for work wherever, if we're out on a flight field or in a hangar for 3 o'clock. So I normally work 3 to 11:30. Since I do electrical work before I go to work or home repair or whatever, I usually have a project going that's, you know, 7, 8 o'clock, and that goes until 1 or 2, and then I hustle it up down to Sikorsky.
Did you ever see yourself doing this at a young age?
Never in a million years. No, just because you go to school and after high school and you go into a career which you think is going to be forever, many changes happen. You don't study and all of a sudden I'm going to try something else or a job change or a relocation. Your knowledge and your background, because I have an electrical background, I thought I would strictly be doing electrical work, wiring and things like that. And then an opportunity came to utilize more of my electronic background, and that's how I ended up at Sikorsky.
Were there any problems in pursuing this career?
The only thing that you have to do when you work on this aircraft, you have to be able to pass this dunk test that I spoke of, where you're underwater, you're strapped into your seat, you got to be able to pass a swim test, a cold water rescue with the six of us together helping each other. So if you can't pass the swimming and the physical part of it, you can't be on this group. So other than that, that's been it.
Cool. What else would you have done if you didn't succeed in this field?
I guess I would have just been a regular electrician where, you know, you call somebody, oh, something's wrong in my panel downstairs in your basement. I would be that person. So I would have strictly been an electrician.
Has there been anyone or anything that has gotten in the way of achieving your goals?
Pretty much, you know, as long as I'm able to stay physically fit and be able to pass the testing that we do every 3 years for being underwater and that part and being on the aircraft. Other than that, as long as I can continue to do that, I would say no, nothing.
So what is your favorite part of your job?
I guess going on a flight, you know, we don't fly every day. Don't think that I go there every day, 3 o'clock, and I go for a spin. A lot of times there's just maintenance that has to be done. So, you know, I'm just utilizing electrical and electronic. But recently we flew up to West Point to bring somebody from the military that was here in New Haven for a football game. Yale played Army 2 years ago, and somebody needed to get back up to West Point quick, and we were on flights. They brought him into Sikorsky. We were already out on the flight field, and it was a general from the military, and we flew up to West Point. You know, landed there. We normally don't land this aircraft. When we go up for a flight, we're just doing testing, and we always have to return back to Sikorsky because it's a secured aircraft. Nobody, you can't just go in there and walk in there. You know, you see it on TV all the time, but you can't get anywhere near it. But when we're at West Point, obviously it's a military location.
What would you say is your proudest moment?
Well, I would think my daughter Madison is my proudest moment. Has nothing to do with work. She's most important. Cool.
What's your fondest memory from your job?
I guess the flights are enjoyable. You know, you're with the guys. We practice working together as a team. Who has to do what job? We sit in certain locations. You know, you open the door, you do this. You know, it's very, very team-oriented. And, you know, being with the guys, the six of us work well together.
What's the best piece of advice you have received throughout your career?
Don't be afraid to try different things. You know, I would have never thought 30 years ago when I was doing electronic work that I would be flying in the president's aircraft. Never, ever would have thought it. So don't be so focused on, I only can do this. No. Once you have the knowledge, you can use that knowledge to do different things, which I started out. My first job out of school was just at a bench doing electronic work. I would never have thought I would utilize that to do repair work on aircraft or be flying or any of that. So try different things. It's okay. There's not too many people. Older people do it more. Older. Maybe your grandparents. They used to go to work at a factory or at a job, and they would be there 30, 40 years. That's not common now because different things happen with companies, different jobs. You relocate, you try different things, and it's common now.
What's something that you would like to know or you would have wanted to know before you started this career?
I guess my regret with – not regret. The only thing that I wish I had done sooner, I spent a lot of years working at another company right out of school, General Instruments, and I wish I had done this first and spent more time at Sikorsky. I'd have had, you know, more flight time. I would have had different things. But, you know, at the time, like I said, I'm in a job. I liked it. I was focused on that. And what happened is that company got relocated to another state, and I didn't want to move, and then I ended up here. So it all worked out good. You know, you lose a job, and then something else comes right along. So it was nice.
What types of courses should I take to prepare for this career?
You know, electrical and electronic background, if you were going to be a flight technician, the best thing would be to be in the military because they do this. The guys that I work with did this in the military. I happen to have the knowledge being in the workforce, but they're trained. They went in the military, in the Marines, and that's why it's called Marine One. They maintain it, and that's where they learned how to do it.
What advice could you give eighth graders who are starting to look for careers?
Don't be so focused only on one thing because it's going to change. You know, you think that, oh, I'm going to be a veterinarian, and then something else comes along or relocating or, you know, it's okay to have a goal, but don't be so, I can only do that. And if that happens, that's good. But in the most of the time, that doesn't really happen.
What does it take to be successful in the 21st century?
I think your schooling and your education and, you know, your drive is most important. You know, what you're learning here, now next year you guys are going to the high school and hopefully after school you'll be, you know, past high school, learn. Some of the guys might take a trade or girls, you know, there's trades. Not everybody has to go to college. But for the most part, you're going to get most of what you know in college. High school most of the time isn't enough.
Are there any other questions for our guest?
Anybody?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Have you actually met the president? I wasn't in the room in the beginning, but...
No, the aircraft... The aircraft is always in Stratford at the flight field in a hangar. There's actually... There's 24 of these.
Okay.
You only... There's always a couple over at Sikorsky that are constantly being... updated, wiring changes, avionic changes, some of the mechanics have to be checked, gearboxes. So there's always two of them there. And then the rest of them are all over the world with the Marines. They take it apart, fly it to in another aircraft, put it in a plane, fly it to where the president's going to be, take it out, put it back together. He does his thing wherever he is, and then you see him waving, coming down the stairs. You see the aircraft all the time. There's many of them. So today he could be at Cape Cod giving a speech. Tomorrow he could be in Florida. There's an aircraft already there. These Marines move that aircraft all over the world. Yeah, you think, you see it on TV, you think that's the only one. No, they're all the same. They all look the same. They call them white tops, and they're everywhere. There's 24 of them.
What's the name of the helicopter that you fly?
Marine One.
Marine One, right. Okay.
Air Force One is the plane. Mm-hmm. Marine One is the helicopter. Yep. Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Are those armed?
No, they're not.
They're not armed?
No, no.
But is there like some type of armor or any type of like protective capabilities?
Well, naturally, there's bulletproof windows and things like that. And there's, when you see the one on the lawn, and you know, you see it landing at the White House, like as you see in this picture. What you're not seeing in the picture is all of the Marines all around making sure, you know, it's always guarded. It's guarded 24/7 at work.
You can see the guy up on top of the roof.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. Right up here. See that guy right up there? Snipers. Yes. And there's others everywhere. This aircraft is 24/7. When I'm working on it, there's security with me all the time. They don't just let anybody... Even for me, I had to have a background check, all, everything. So there's not too many people that can even qualify. You could pass the swim test, the dunking, have the background, have the electrical and mechanical ability. If you can't pass the security test, you're out. Yeah, they're not letting any Joe Schmo walk up to this aircraft. 24/7, when we're out on the flight field, there's a guard right there. Armed guard. Nobody gets near it. Other guys from Sikorsky cannot come near this area when we're out there. Yep. So, yeah, that was good. There's the guy right there. I never noticed that. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, there's not, you know, naturally it's bulletproof and all of that. But as far as... I'm sure inside when they're flying, there's Secret Service and those guys are armed. God forbid something should happen. But as far as things on here, no. No. It's not a military attack helicopter. It's strictly transport. Go ahead.
Has anything ever went wrong, like while you're flying it?
No, all the times that I've been in it for flights and all that, nothing has ever gone where we had to have an emergency landing. And if we ever did, we train for that, how to evacuate the six of us. We each have a spot where we sit. You know, somebody opens the door, this guy, everybody gets out in a certain order. So, you know, maybe there's a fire or there's something, you know, we have to know what to do. No, nothing's ever. And if anything did happen where we needed to land, you know, there's pilot and co-pilot radio ahead that we're going to land. And being that it has to be secured. Now, when we're flying, there's nobody in there we don't bring guards with us. They're not trained to fly. So if and when we had to land this, say we were doing a test, open field, radio in, state police, city police, and it has to set up a perimeter and guard it all the time. It can never be unguarded.
No one needs to see what's inside.
Correct.
Budget.
Wow. Yeah. And there is, you know, the inside of it, there's a bathroom. You know, it's all...
It's a Cadillac.
It's all tricked out. The inside would be like a very, very nice drivable camper. There's a bathroom. There's a small kitchen. Naturally, there's his special seat, her special seat. This aircraft here, this larger, there's seats for 15 in there.
Well,
yeah, so it's very, the back of it is very large. There's, you know, there's a, you know, like when you're flying, the stewardess has a spot for coffee. There is that on there. Somebody that takes care of all that. There's a, you know, a bathroom just like on a regular airplane.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what are the typical flight times like with helicopters? I know you need Air Force One for long distances, but for like this helicopter,
this would be a case for like Air Force One or they would deliver the aircraft. Say he was doing something here in Hartford. They might land this in, say, Tweed in New Haven and have the aircraft there in case he has to be moved somewhere ready to go. So normal flight time, he's probably not in this in an hour flight here and there. You know, it's most of the time it's in a place where they can't bring a large aircraft. So no, they'll set up somewhere else. He'll get out of the other aircraft and then get into Marine One, land somewhere, set up a secured area, does the speech, does whatever, and then off.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And it's all over the world. These guys that I work with, when they were in the military, they were in Europe, they were in wherever the president is, this aircraft is there. And when you're on, when you work with HMX in the Marine Corps, that's where they go, everywhere. Yep.
Any other questions?
Nope.
Come on, more questions.
Well, thank you, Mr. Torrey, for taking time out of your schedule to speak with us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another Winston Clan podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the helicopter, you can look up Marine One.